acceptable to him that believes. Come on, say amen, somebody. All things are possible to him who believes. Now, if you've been aware of my preaching and teaching, you know I always say this. What is the devil always after? He's after your faith. If he can get your faith, he's got you. Don't let him get your faith. All things are possible to him who believes. See, the one who believes is the one who is going to be a recipient of the power of God. The one who believes, he is trusting the one who holds all power and all authority in heaven and earth. The one who believes is the one who will see miracles and breakthroughs in their lives. The one who has focused faith in God and his word is the one who has stepped into visionary faith. I want you to have it today. I want you to step into it. All things are possible to him who believes. Luke's Gospel chapter 1. Now we just passed Christmas season. You know, so the angel Gabriel has been sent to a young woman by the name of Mary, announcing the news that she's going to have a son. Her immediate response is, I have never known a man. So that was the argument, right? So he goes, the angel goes on and gives this message to her. And then we read this verse in verse 37. For with God, nothing is ever impossible. For with God, now think of that. For with God, nothing is ever impossible. Man, just let that just saturate a minute. For with God, nothing is ever, ever impossible. And no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. You know why? Because we're talking about God. God who created the heavens and the earth and everything that in them is. God who holds all power, all authority. He is sovereign over all things. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Even wicked kings have served his purpose. We find it all through Scripture. Because God is God. So with God, nothing is ever impossible. And his word, or no word from God, shall not be without power or impossibility of fulfillment. So I wanted to just kind of give you those faith verses today to kind of impart some visionary faith to you. Now I want to visit probably the most powerful and best definition and explanation of faith that you will find in all of the Bible, and it's in Hebrews chapter 11. And it says this, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Notice this in parentheses, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Now let that saturate for a moment, because that is an incredible concept. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. What an incredible understanding of faith. He goes on and he says, for by faith, trust and holy fervor, born of faith, the men of old had divine testimony born to them and obtained a good report. The King James Version of the Bible says the elders obtained a good report. It is referring to the Old Testament men and the examples and the stories. And we find those detailed in Hebrews chapter 11. It says that by faith, trust and holy fervor, born of faith, the men of old had, listen to this, divine testimony born to them. Divine testimony born to them. Last week I talked about birthing vision. This is an incredible thought, because the power of a testimony comes from the work of God. The power of a testimony comes from the divine work of God, the impartation of His power, His anointing, and what He wants to do. So He says that they had this divine testimony born to them, and they obtained a good report. Then He says, by faith we understand that the worlds during the successive ages were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God, so that what we see was not made out of things which are visible. What an incredible statement that we find, an incredible truths that we find in these verses. This classic verse of God's word gives us the biblical definition of faith. It tells us that faith is the substance. How many of you know our lives should have substance? There's a lot of people that live life and they have no substance. But our lives should have substance. So the Bible tells us that faith is the substance. What does that mean? The substance. Faith is the substance of what we hope for. The word substance is also translated as assurance, confidence, and reality. Faith has the substance, is like the concrete for a foundation. It is what I stand on. It is my firm foundation. Faith is the substance of my eternal future. As the Amplified Bible says, it is the assurance, the confirmation, and the title deed of the things that we hope for, things that are not seen as yet. But we believe it because faith lays hold upon it. And we live with the conviction of the reality. So let's look at that word substance. Faith is the substance. It is this Greek word that is defined as something that is placed under. It is a support that produces confidence. Do you realize that we have faith in all kinds of things today? When you get on an airplane, you board that airplane with faith that the pilot knows how to drive it. Hello, somebody. Right? We have faith in so many things. We get in our automobile, and we have faith that it's going to start, and it's going to get us to church today. And it must have worked. Right? Because you're here. Unless you rode a bicycle. Well, even that would require faith to pedal those wheels and make it go. You know, there's so many areas of our lives of things that we have faith in. We go to the doctor. We have faith that the doctor is going to be able to help our condition. Faith is the substance. So when we apply it to our relationship with God, see, it is something that is placed under. It is a support, and it produces confidence. Just like when I get on an airplane, I am confident that the people in the cockpit are going to get us where we need to go. See, the substance of faith, when we bring it into our relationship with God, it is rooted in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that He is the author and He is the finisher of our faith. So my faith is resting, think of this, it is resting on what He did for me at the cross. So because of what Christ did for me at the cross, my faith is committed, my faith is determined, and my faith is visionary. Because Jesus had visionary faith. He never lost sight of the victory of the cross. He pushed all the shame to the side. He pushed all the disgrace to the side. And He obtained the victory for you and I. Thank you, God. Listen to how Hebrews 12 describes it. He says, looking away from all that will distract to Jesus. Y'all dealing with any distractions? Hands are not going up anywhere around the building. Nobody wants to talk about their distractions. We all have to deal with distractions. So he says, looking away from all that will distract us and looking unto Jesus, who is the leader, check this out, and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief. And he is also its finisher, bringing to maturity and perfection. Now listen to this. He, Jesus Christ, who for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross. Here's the substance of faith and how it operates. It says he endured the cross, despising, ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Christ is the substance of our faith. He is the one who provides my sure foundation. He's the only one who can instill my confidence, my hope, and my expectation. Jesus Christ is my rock, and I stand on Christ alone. And I'm going to tell you, my friends, as we move forward, you're going to have a solid foundation in the days ahead. You're going to need to know that you're standing on something that is sure and steadfast and unmovable. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 3. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Christ is the substance of my faith. He is my concrete. He is that which I am standing upon. All of my faith, my hope, my expectation, my confidence, everything is based and rooted on Christ. And that's why I want to go deeper in him. As the great hymn declares, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Why is that? Because faith in Christ is the substance of all we hope for. So how is your substance today? Looking away from anything that distracts, make sure your foundation is solid. Make sure that your life is standing on something. Because there's so many people, they are tossed and they are driven. They have no stability because they have no substance. But when you have substance, when your substance is rooted on this concrete, this incredible foundation of Jesus Christ, you have the substance of faith. And because you have this incredible foundation, because you have this substance that is now leading you, guiding you, directing you, empowering you, moving you forward, it moves us into the next stage. And the next stage is generational faith. So I want to talk to you about generational faith. How many of you know none of us chose the time in history that we have been born into? We didn't get that choice, right? None of us chose our parents. Y'all still with me? Or the family tree that we are a part of. If I would have been given that prerogative, I would have definitely chose a rich family. You know, where there's money. One less thing to worry about. But we don't have that prerogative. We didn't choose our parents. We didn't choose our family tree that we are part of. We have been born into this world as a result of the divine plan and purpose of God. He chose it. We are here based upon His selection. He chose the time that we would be in this on this planet. Consider this. Jeremiah 1. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordain you a prophet to the nations. I read that and I'm like, what? Before you were born? Before I even formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I can't even wrap my understanding around that. But that's what it says. Ephesians 1:4. Even as in his love, he chose us. Actually picked us out for himself as his own. In Christ, look at this. Before the foundation of the world, before the world was even created by God, I was in his mind. I mean, these are incredible concepts. Listen to what Paul says to the church in Thessalonians. He says, but we, brethren, beloved by the Lord, ought and obligated as those who are in debt to give thanks always to God for you. He's writing to the church body now. And he says that we are beloved by the Lord. And we are giving thanks always to God for you. Because God chose you from the beginning as his first fruits, the first converts for salvation, through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit and your belief in, adherence to, and trust in, and the reliance on his truth. Wow. If there's any doubt that God has a plan and purpose for you and I, these verses remove that. If there's any doubt. See, the truth that stands out here is that of divine destiny. So we have been born at this time and in this generation to fulfill the purpose of God in our lives. Are you operating in your purpose? You think about that today, and only you can answer it. Because I believe there might be many here today that are not flowing in their purpose. And you're just drifting around. But that's not the plan of God for you. We have been born at this time and in this generation to fulfill the purpose of God in our lives. So let's visit Hebrews once again to see the example of generational faith. So I'm going to visit this one now in the New King James. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now think of this for just a moment. We read that and we, you know, I've read that so many times over the years, and yeah, God created everything, you know, and you kind of leave it there. But if we look at Hebrews chapter 11, it's all about faith. Let's keep in mind the theme of this chapter. It's called the Hall of Faith. It lists all the Old Testament patriarchs and matriarchs who accomplished great things by faith. It talks about what they did in their generation. Are you still with me today? Their generation. It talks about what they did in their generation. How by the power of faith, visionary faith, they changed their world. The characters stand out because of their exploits that they did by faith. These men and women who lived by faith obtained a good report. Reminds me of a story in the Bible. Jesus heals a man, and he says, go. He wanted to stay with him because he got healed. So he wanted to stay with Christ. Jesus told him, he said, go and tell what great things the Lord has done for you. See, that's the power of a testimony right there. Listen, all we have to do, you want to share Christ with somebody? All you got, you don't have to know a lot about the Bible. All you got to do is say, let me tell you what he did for me. Hallelujah. That's all you need. Let me tell you what he did for me. At one time I was lost, I was bound, I was messed up. I mean, my life was a mess. But let me tell you what he did for me. Hallelujah. And that's what Jesus told that man that he healed. He said, go and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. So the Bible says they had a good report. They had a testimony. They had a good report. See, God validated their faith by miraculous breakthroughs in their lives. They saw the mighty works of God in their generation. They obtained a testimony through generational faith. Things of God. I want to go deeper in the things of God. I've been serving God a long time now. Hallelujah. I've been preaching the gospel a long time now, but I'm not satisfied where I am. I want to go deeper. I want my faith to see greater things, experience more powerful miracles. I want to see the power of faith unleashed in this generation because I didn't choose when I would be here. God chose it. Now look at this incredible example. In Hebrews chapter 11, going down a few verses, it says, by faith Enoch, here another one of the elders, for by the elders obtained a good report. Here's one of the elders, Old Testament Bible character. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. This man was supernaturally translated to heaven. Think about that. Could you imagine that? All of a sudden, they can't find him anymore. Where's Enoch? Enoch gone. Where'd he go? He went to heaven. Well, nobody, where's the ashes? Nobody told me about the funeral. This is an incredible thing. It says that, look at that, he was taken away. He was supernaturally translated to heaven and was not found because God had taken him. But look at this. For before he had, or before he was taken, he had this testimony. He had this testimony. We read that divine testimony was born in them. Are you still with me? Oh my, this is incredible truth. He says he had this testimony that he pleased God. He said, my boy is walking so close to me. He said, I'm going to promote him right now. What? And then we read this, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Don't let anybody steal your faith. Don't let any demon steal your faith. Don't let the devil steal your faith. If you got to separate from some people, then get away from those faith busters and hang around people that are going to throw fire or fuel on your fire. Hang around with people that are going to build your faith. Stay strong in your faith, giving glory to God. Hallelujah. Because there is a measure, there is a level of faith that God gives to every single generation. Hallelujah. Keep believing. Keep trusting. Keep walking. And watch the miracles unfold. Let me move on to the next thing. I'm almost done. So yeah, I've heard that before. Let me talk to you about life-changing visionary faith. Again, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 this time. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. As I was just saying a few moments ago, you go over that verse and the worlds were framed. We think of the planet. We think of the universe. We think of the solar system. But that's not what he's talking about. Because think about it. Everything in this chapter is about faith. It's about the exploits of faith. It's about what men and women of God did through the power of faith in their generation. So he says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Look at this verse in the Mirror Bible. This is a Bible that a lot of people don't even know about. This is a Greek paraphrase of the New Testament. Hebrews 11:3 in the Mirror Bible reads like this. Faith alone explains what is not apparent to the natural eye. Look at this. How the ages. Do y'all see this? How the ages substituted the word worlds for the word ages. How the ages were framed by the word of origin in thou invisible. This is a powerful statement. Two key words here that show us what visionary faith is. The words world and the word worlds and the word framed. All right, so the word worlds is this Greek word that is defined as an age or a time period. In other words, it is a duration of time or a generation of time. Are you still with me today? Because we're talking about generational faith here now. We're talking about how visionary faith operates. God wants you and I to move forward in visionary faith. 2024, we're probably going to see all hell unleashed this year because of the presidential election. And there's never been more division than there is now. More fussing and feuding than there is now. More hatred than there is now. All hell will probably break loose this year. But don't let that move you one iota. You remember, you got a foundation. Stay on your foundation. And listen, don't let politics divide you from the body of Christ. Yeah. Stay in the word of God. It's all going to be taken over by the Antichrist anyway, so why are you so worried about it? That was just a little side commentary right there. Won't take an offering for it. It's free. Hallelujah. So this word worlds is referring to allotted periods of time in human history. So it is referring to generations. It is referring to years or decades. That is what it is referring to. So he says the worlds, the age, the generations, they were framed by the word of God. Listen how Paul uses the very same word in Galatians 1. He says, grace to you, peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age. What is he talking about? A period of time. He's not talking about a planetary system. It's the very same word, worlds. The very same Greek word for the word worlds. But here, there's been a word change. And he says that he might deliver us from this present evil age. What does the original King James Bible say? That he might deliver us from this present evil world. But again, he's talking about generations. See, the message that we get from these verses is that generations were impacted. Generations were changed by the word of God that was executed by men and women of faith. Do you see how important faith is? You got to live in faith. Well, let's get the word framed. The word frame comes from this Greek word that means to adjust, to fit, to finish, to make complete, to refit, to repair, to mend. Do you see this? He's talking about everything. This word, the definition of this Greek word is defining everything that the gospel does. Everything. What does the gospel do? It adjusts our lives. It finishes our lives. It makes us complete. It refits us. It repairs us. It mends us. The word means to reunite in mind and sentiment. It means to reconcile. Paul said, God was in Christ reconciling the world. The world, the generations. Are you still with me? Reconciling them. God's not reconciling the earth to himself. He's reconciling people. Right? He's reconciling people. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. The people. To reconcile. To restore. I love this. To restore. This is a pretty long definition, but a lot of insight. This word framed. To restore, as it were, a disjointed limb. See, actually, all of us are decrepit. Everything is out of joint. I woke up about 5 o'clock this morning, and my right hip. I turned over one way. Man, that hurts. I turned over another way. Man, that hurts. I've never had this before. Then I'm thinking, what on earth? Something. I still feel it a little bit right here. That's all right. I'll get home today. Becky will put a little ice pack on it. It'll be all right. Advil. Yep. She's a drug dealer. Hallelujah. Open up the medicine cabinet. Boxes of Advil fall out. It's funny, but every time I say, oh, man, I've healed this headache. Take an Advil. I feel so sore. I worked yesterday. Take an Advil. And, you know, I must say, it does help. But this word is telling us that everybody's out of joint. Everything is messed up because of sin. But God restores it. See, he frames it. So every generation, this is life-changing visionary faith. To sum up the meaning of this word, of these words, it's all about restoration and transformation. These men and women of faith, they reshaped. Listen, they reshaped and they altered their generation by faith, executed through and by the word of God. What was their secret? Visionary faith. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says that the worlds were framed, the generations, the people of those time periods, those generations were impacted. Those generations were moved. Those generations were changed by men and women of God who framed those generations by the word of God. They altered those generations by the word of God. So you and I did not choose this time period. But we are here by divine destiny. I don't want to miss my moment. I'm reminded of what we read. Apostles are preaching in the book of Acts. And then make a reference to David. In one of those messages, I believe it's Acts chapter 36. And then in that message, they said, David, who by the will of God served the purpose of God. Served the purpose of God. And then he fell asleep and was buried with his fathers. In other words, his time of impact reaches a conclusion. It all reaches a conclusion, right? So that's why we got to do what we can do now. Restoration, transformation. These men and women of God, they shaped, they altered their generation by faith. These men and women of faith lived visionary faith. And because of their visionary faith, they changed their generation. They saw beyond all the challenges. They saw beyond all of the difficulties. And because of that, guess what happened? Miracles exploded in their lives. God wants to explode miracles in our lives. Miracles in our families, miracles in the lives of our children, miracles in this body of believers. God wants to do that because he responds to men and women who grab a hold of visionary faith. Hallelujah. Then we have another story, and I'll leave you with this one. In Mark chapter 10, rich young ruler comes to Jesus. Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, you know the law. Do not commit adultery. You still got the top ones going right there. You know, do not commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie. And, you know, he gave him all of these things of the law. And he said, well, I've done all of these from my youth. He said, well, you lack one thing. Well, what's that? He said, sell all you have. Distribute it to the poor. He said, then come and follow me. Well, now, wait a minute. You don't realize how much money I got. See, that was his hang up. It wasn't that wealth was wrong. It was that wealth possessed him. That was the difference. And it's one of the most saddest stories in the Bible. Isn't it foolish to live for things that are passing away? I mean, really, it's foolish to live for things that are passing away. They have no eternal value. You know, thank God, the Bible says he gives us all things richly to enjoy. We're a blessed people. Man, I'm always thanking God for how blessed I am. We are so wealthy. I mean, we are so wealthy in this nation. And I'm always mindful of that. And I always thank God, you know, for all of his blessings. Saddest story in the Bible, because the Bible says he turned away. Walked away from Jesus. The disciples, they were amazed. And then they began to talk to Jesus about it. And he said, it's very difficult for those, and this is what he said, it's very difficult for those who put their trust in. What is faith? It's got to have a substance. He was trying to shift what he was standing on to a sure foundation. See, wealth was his substance. And that's why Jesus said, it's hard for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. And then he said this in Mark 10:27. Jesus glanced around at them and said, with men, it is for all things are possible with God. Come on, give Jesus a hand of praise. Hallelujah. He can save the poor. He can save the middle class. He can save the rich fools. They're not all fools, but he can save them all. Because with God, all things are possible. And I love this incredible quote. I want to step into visionary faith. What does God want us to accomplish in this new year? What does God want to do this in this new year? It's going to require visionary faith. So I got to get out of the land of unbelief. I got to get away from those who are not building faith. I got to stay in the right place. And I got to stay connected to God. And if I stay connected to God, we're going to move forward. And I love the great evangelists. Moody Bible Institute is in Chicago, Illinois to this day. And the great evangelist, D.L. Moody, I love this quote. If God is your partner, make your plans big. Come on, somebody. If God is your partner, God is my partner. Let's make our plans big. God, what do you want to do? Hallelujah. What do you want to do? How do you want to use me? I want to step into visionary faith. Praise God. Hallelujah. Visionary faith. You know, it's amazing that we read this incredible chapter in the book of Hebrews. Because if you go back earlier in the book of Hebrews, he talks about a lot of things. He talks about those turning away from the faith. And he says that we must hold fast our confidence firm until the end. He warns us. He said, take heed, therefore, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God.